Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's Martha. Just a quick announcement before we get to the episode. So I'm so excited to announce that Chronicles of Narnia will be in the Chicago Podcast Festival 2018. So if you are in the Chicago area on Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m., we will be recording live at the Beat Kitchen alongside Feminist Folklore, which is also an amazing podcast. So check our Facebook page and the website for details. They will be going up ASAP, and I'm so excited. I would love to have anyone there that can come. It would just make my holiday season. So mark your calendars. Monday, November 26th, 7 p.m. at the Beat Kitchen in Chicago. All right, here's the episode. Hello and welcome to the Chronicles of Narnia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I'm your host, Martha Reddick, and this week I'm very excited because we are going to be talking about magic and kids in a lot of different capacities. And to do that, I've brought on Jordan Olguin. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing so well. I'm so happy that I found you and that you're willing to share some tips with us.
Likewise. I think we're going to have a lot of fun today.
I do too. So before we get started, let's hear just a little bit about your background with magic. I know that you said that you don't do a lot with kids, which is totally fine. but we would love to hear just kind of your journey as a magician.
Yeah. It started, I'll never forget, the summer going into my junior year of high school. Mm. I was on YouTube just passing the time, and you know when you're just going deeper and deeper and there's those videos that pop up, like recommended?
Yes.
This video thumbnail popped up and it said, "Guy kisses pretty girl with magic trick." And I thought, oh my gosh, like it's fake, it's a setup. And I remember ignoring it for a few days, but it kept popping up. So finally one day I was like, I'll click on it. And it was this guy, and he was being all flirty and cheeky and everything. And he does this trick and the girl has to kiss him on the cheek for like the magic trick to work. So I was already hating this guy, but at the very end of the video, the magic trick itself blew my mind. I watched it probably 50 times through the computer. I couldn't figure it out. And I told myself right then and there, I'm going to figure out how to do things like that so I could give people those reactions. And it's been, gosh, like 5 years now that I've been doing it. So
hard at work. That's exactly. Awesome. That's awesome. Well, yeah. And I love that curiosity. And I know for kids, especially kids that we nanny, I think every single one of the kids that I've nannied has gone through a love of magic phase.
Yeah. I mean, and even when I was a young kid before I really dabbled into it, there's something about, you know, making those props in those books you get as kids and
yes,
showing, oh, mom and dad, look at what I could do. And it's I love it. You know, it's so much fun, and I love seeing kids when they do magic, and even if they don't quite do the trick right and you see it, it's still so much fun because they're so happy. And when you're like, oh my gosh, where did it go? And just seeing them light up, it's the cutest thing.
It's so cute. So yes, I love it. But before we get into like fostering that love of magic in children, let's talk about the reason that I wanted to do this episode. So I started with infants pretty recently, and one of them falls asleep in my arms. She's a real good sleeper. But then as I'm trying to transfer her to the crib, every time I wake her up, and I kind of pride myself on being able to get kids like relaxed and go to sleep. Like I'm good about like getting my own heart rate down and, you know, being in a calm state myself, which I think helps. But this has been a struggle. And so I was like, ooh, maybe like someone who can pickpocket or do magic would have some ideas about how to like get a baby from my arms to a crib in a way that won't wake up the baby.
definitely. Well, I don't know if you know anything about pickpocketing.
I don't.
it's interesting. I will say I personally don't do a lot of it with my magic routines. It's not my style, but what I do, there's a couple of basic principles in that would be great. And one of them that I use when I perform is misdirection. Mm-hmm. And that is, as the name suggests, is, you know, look over here while you're really doing something over here. And with a baby, a lot of it would be really with the feeling. So maybe I would suggest, I don't know, because, you know, you hold a baby. I'm sure you're holding the baby like this, right?
Yeah. Right, like, yeah.
Cradling it, that typical. Maybe try holding her almost what would look awkward, but so that as you're setting her down, it's almost
like away from the body. Yeah.
Yeah. So she falls asleep not feeling you, because like you said, you try to slow your heart rate down. I mean, the babies, we as humans, we feel that.
Right.
And so all of a sudden when that's gone, it's like, oh man, what was happening?
I used to be able to hear the heart rate. And right. Yeah, because I mean, I have her head really close to my heart. So that's a really good point, is potentially getting her away, a little bit more away from my body. And I also was thinking about heat difference of, you know, when you're holding somebody really close to your chest, you're both heating each other up. And so having her further away would probably help with that as well, I would think.
Yeah. And even if you're putting her in a crib, I would even suggest maybe, you know, putting a big pillow, like one of our pillows, for instance. So there is a slight transition, but she'll go right back. Oh, there's something that I've been laying on that's larger than me. And that goes back to magic, where you sometimes, if you're making something disappear and you're putting something, air quotes, in their hand, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it's, they think, oh, that's what it is. And all of a sudden, wait, that's not what I thought I was holding.
Yeah, although with an infant, you can't do that. Once they get a little older, you can. But it's dangerous because of suffocation. So with like a true infant, you can't put a pillow in there. But I like the idea of potentially like trying to lay her down in such a way that it's not a completely different body position.
Yeah.
For him or her, whichever gender you're nannying. And then, and then getting that, you know, like working your way, I think. I also think slowing down would help me.
Exactly. It's, and you'll find when you, if you slow down and take it in processes, like maybe start real close and then shift a little further, then a little further. And then finally, once they're in the crib, it's such a seamless transition rather than from, oh, they're laying on my head. So now what is happening? It's like, oh, damn. I've been on this journey. I'm on a boat. Just sailing away.
Yes. I love that idea. And get those water sounds on the noisemaker.
There we go. See, we're sailing to paradise.
Exactly. Perfect. Any other ideas for that particular when they're sleeping?
When, like, putting them in the crib? I would say I actually grew up, I'm much older. I'm 10 and 12 years older than my youngest siblings.
Aww.
And they, I know the struggle. You're trying to put them down, or you're trying to maybe pick them up to put them in the car seat. And right. Oh my gosh, I woke them up. I'm so sorry. So it's a lot of it. My biggest advice would probably be to slow down and really, it's about the pressure. And like going back to pickpocketing, the reason you get away with doing a pickpocket entertainment routine is because you're not just, oh, I'm going to reach in your pocket and take out your phone. I'm going in slower than what you would think. Like maybe to us that are doing it, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm moving at a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm.
But really moving it slow, getting used to it, the body would just think it's normal and we're really not disrupting them.
Right. Yeah, that's such a good point of just making sure that you're giving time for their sleeping brain, but still working brain, to adjust to each new movement.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. Okay, so they've woken up from a wonderful nap because we've now gotten them into the crib. No problems.
Boom.
Love it. And now they're awake and they're playing with a toy that maybe isn't safe. So it's not actually a toy. So they've picked something up and you would love to get that away from them without having, you know, a breakdown in the middle of your day. And if you just take a toy away, there's going to be a breakdown.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So how can you use some like magic skills to get that toy away from them in a way that they won't notice?
So especially for infants and toddlers, I would say the number one would be misdirection.
Yeah.
And what I mean by misdirection is and it goes even to pressure. So say they're playing with, uh-oh, they got dad's Rolex.
Yeah.
That, like, they're going to put it in their mouth. That's, like, anything weird not about that, right? Mm-hmm. So I would give them maybe their little maraca.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that classic maraca. So, again, slow down. I would take my time with it. I would play with it a little bit.
Ooh.
And then they're piquing their interest. And that's a classic magic concept where if I want you to look somewhere, which is obviously away from where I'm doing the trick, I'm going to be looking there.
Right.
And I'm not – and it's a subconscious thing we do. So if I'm looking down over here, you, the spectator, will be, oh, I wonder what they're looking at. So I'm playing with this maraca, oh my gosh, and they're like, oh, they look like they're having so much fun. What is that? Then you start playing, maybe give it to them in their other hand, and at the same time, that's when you would make that, you know, magic switch of, oh man, and then as you're taking it, you're still focusing on the maraca, shaking it, making music, dancing, they're giggling, and then all of a sudden, boom, put the Rolex in your pocket, and I guarantee you they'll have completely forgotten because what is this maraca? Oh my goodness.
Exactly. And we also have object permanence on our side in that babies don't really develop object permanence until like 8 to 12 months. So literally with a baby, with an infant, if you get that out of their sight, it ceases to exist for them, which is beautiful.
If only everyone reacted that way with magic.
Yeah, your job would be so much easier.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think that that's a really good way.
Yeah, definitely. And even with infants, when I have done magic to them, you get a little bit of a break, I would say, because of, those principles. They're young, they're still, their brains are developing, so misdirection so much easier. Like, look at that bird, really works.
Yes. Yes, it does. Although I've seen it work on a lot of adults as well.
That's a different topic for a different day.
True. Especially if it's like, look at this cool thing on my phone. Oh, bye.
Right.
But yeah, okay. So great. Is there any other technique as far as, like, let's say it's potentially two kids, like you're nannying siblings, and they both are playing with an object or a couple objects that you don't want them to be playing with, like mom's set of diamond earrings, oh. And they each have one. Do you have advice?
Oh,
for
man.
That?
So, yeah, so it definitely is easier to perform a magic trick to one person versus a group of people.
Right.
The only difference is when you have more people, that's when you really take control. And we're in control. So they have mom's earrings, and that's a big no-no. And we're all right. So what I would recommend is you could even do it with the same one maraca and just really gather. What I do when I have big crowds is I'll straight up just be like, awesome, everyone just gather in front, just so you could see it. Really, right. I'm saying, don't be behind me because you'll see how I'm doing everything and that won't be cool. But in their mind, they're like, oh yeah, I really want to see what's about to happen. Oh my gosh. If you want to see the trick, stand in front of me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be that same thing and then work one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really win one over. You have one earring. Boom, we're halfway there and we're still rocking it. Maybe the earring's in your pocket now. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Then we get back. Now you and the twin A, Max, is playing. And then Emmy over here is, wait, why are they having fun? I want to have fun now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would say the more, it's still that same principle of misdirection and really focusing your energy and attention. So, you know, their focus. Because everyone wants to, if someone's having fun, we as humans, right? Well, I want to have fun too.
Right. Yeah. What's going on over there?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's great. Awesome. Okay. So are there any like basic magic tricks that we as nannies could learn and teach kids? Because we talked about before how proud kids are when they can like show off their magic skills, you know, even
if it
doesn't go well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or just perform if they're, you know, not old enough to handle objects or cards or understand all that. We could just perform it for them. But if they are old enough to perform it themselves.
So there's, if you're not using cards, there's one trick that I really like that is really, this one's a group. So say you have a group and you're nannying, I don't know, 3-4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
You pick one and you'll say, okay, everyone's going to know how to do this, but don't help her. So you crumple up a napkin or paper towel or something into a little ball and you stand over in front of them and you say, okay, I want you to guess what hand is it in. 1, 2, 3. And you put it in, snap your fingers, and it looks like it disappeared. Let's see, you're like, what just happened?
I know, I'm like, I don't know how you did that.
And if you were watching me, I literally threw the piece of paper over the camera. And that's the joke of everyone watching. They're like, how do you not see it? It's so big. And you're the whole, that's the fun of it where don't tell them. And then even I guarantee you, if they do that to mom and dad, who's the trick's being done on them, they're going to start being like, how do I not get this? Why is everybody laughing? And then finally you show them, I've just been throwing it over my head. And it's a super fun one.
That is very fun. I love that.
There's another super fun one that's super easy with a very basic deck of cards that anyone can do. And I'll show you. Say, so you know, you fan out the cards and we'll just say, this is our card.
Okay.
eight of spades.
Great.
So you would tell them, they'd hold the deck and just say, just slide it in anywhere you want. So right there. And you could say, with my hands behind my back, I'm going to find your card. All of a sudden you show all the cards are facing the same way, except for one card. What's that card?
Your card.
And all that is, see, again, it's like,
yeah,
it doesn't have enthralled. To be crazy. And once you figure it out, you're going to hate me. So they take out their card and they can say, go ahead and show everyone. I'm going to turn my back. So here we have the four of spades. And when my back is turned, this is what I did. Flip the deck.
Nice.
So as soon, the trick does itself. So you flip over the deck, flip over the top card, make it look like it's done. And they'll feel all cool flipping the card back behind their back. Be like, don't worry, mom. I got you.
That's awesome. That's so fun. Yeah, I love both of those. And I think both of those are easy and really fun. And yeah. And I love the one for a group. I think even especially for like a nanny play date, that one would be really great because you could do it with the other nanny and then all the kids get to feel empowered. Yeah.
Exactly. They're in on it.
Yeah.
And that's what's great. Yeah. And then, and you get to not tell the other nanny. So they're like, oh my goodness.
what just happened?
Yeah.
how did you do that? That's awesome. Great. So if an older kid that you're nannying is saying that they want to be a magician when they grow up, what's your advice for this as a career path?
Oh man, I would say, I'm gonna Nike it, I guess. Just do it. But really, it's great because my little brother's now, my youngest brother, he loves magic. Mm-hmm. And he looks at videos online. And I'll do a magic trick and I'll see him practicing it. And he likes to mimic what I do in his little way. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But I would say start performing. I remember when I first started, I was 16, 15 turning 16. And I taught myself a bunch of tricks and I never performed on anybody. And the first time I performed, I was super nervous. My hands were shaking. I was doing it to my friends at school, right. And I was nervous. Then fast forward, going out in public and going up to a group of strangers, that's a whole different ballgame of, you know, I mean, you're even, and it's true. You walk up, hey guys, what's up? You want to see a magic show? No, we don't. Okay, cool. Like, take care. Like, that's just a reality of doing magic. And I will say once, the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll get and the more successful you'll get.
Yeah. And I think that's really important for nannies to hear too, in that giving kids an opportunity to perform magic in front of you is really important, and to be like an attentive, good audience member.
Yes, definitely. Because I'll even say in my magic career, you'll get those people that are just, you know, there's always a heckler. There's always someone standing outside the group that's telling them how you do it. And I mean, hey, that's fine.
Right.
But it really is something when someone, the reason I still do it is because I love seeing for just a minute a grown man just turn into a six-year-old kid for even half a second, because what did I just see?
Right.
And that's beautiful to me, because, I mean, in today's world, even a little bit of light is just so wonderful.
So wonderful, yeah, and so needed.
I love seeing kids. I do love seeing kids that are so passionate about it, because you see their eyes light up and it's great.
Yeah. And I also think, because I ended up getting one of my nanny kids like the magic set with all the like costume stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I also think that that can be empowering for kids to have the like clothes to put on to inhabit
Definitely.
That kind of character, and can be important for their sense of play and sense of like, I'm doing this.
Definitely. And it's something too, being a nanny, you're a safe place for them. And it's, I know, because I mean, there's one thing practicing the sleight of hand that you're doing, practicing the routine, getting it down. And then there's, that can only take you so far because you do, the nature of the art is with other, it's a community.
Right.
So you need a spectator. And I know I would always go to my family. They tell you stories like, I thought I've seen all his tricks. Like it's, but going out before you go out in public, you know, as a nanny, being that safe place for them, like, hey, practice on me. If you really mess up, because it happens, like,
right.
You're right here. Like, practice some more, and then when you're ready, try it again.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think anything you can do to legitimize this interest, so even down to, like, helping them make tickets, you know, to, yeah. like, come see the show, or having, like, a backstage area.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. like anything like that, or, you know, set up where they're going to perform the magic show and help them decorate it, and, you know, cultivating that sense of, this isn't just something we're going to do for 5 minutes. This is like a performance, and it's real, and I'm going to pay attention to you.
Exactly. And I will say, you know, going back to my brothers, they see, yeah, as a performer myself, they see me on stage, they see me doing my thing, they see me in movies, and they love it. And when they get to do that,
yeah,
and they're, as they light up,
yeah,
and that's the beautiful thing about it, is, like you said, we're not just for funsies right now, like, oh, how cute, like, now right. go and play. It's like, no, oh my gosh, I get to see a magic show, a show.
Right. Yeah.
And it's super, and that confidence that they'll get will just carry them so far in life.
Yeah.
So far.
And I think, you know, a lot of times we think of, I even said it earlier in this episode, we think of the magic phase, you know, and I think mm-hmm. Helping to take that seriously instead of just being like, oh, they're in their magic phase. Like, we got, you know, another month of this and then it's yeah. over, is super important and will provide them potentially with confidence in whatever they go into, whether it be magic or, you know, being on a board of directors, you know?
Exactly. And honestly, you never know, they could, you know, take that quote unquote magic phase and make that their career.
Yeah, for sure.
It happens. And it, you hear these magicians all over. I got a magic kit when I was 6 mm-hmm. and now I own my own magic shop. I perform in my own theater. It,
yeah.
And that's great to really build up their interest.
For sure. Because even I just listened to Steve Martin's autobiography, and he started with magic, you know,
yeah.
and then carried on to be other things besides a magician. But, you know, that's where he started, his love of performing. And so I just thank you for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. It's fun. I mean, throughout all of history, we as a human race love magic.
Yep.
And what I love today too is it's so easy to learn magic nowadays. It's so transparent. Of the YouTube, there's video tutorials on pretty much every trick, or they debunk it.
Right.
But even with that knowledge, we still I'm a magician, so I know 90% of the tricks I see, but I still am like, oh, that was great. They did such a good job. Like, oh, I love the reactions and their, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And some of my first nanny kids who are way older now, but when I do, you know, nighttime babysits for them, like date night babysits, they love watching that Penn and Teller, like Can You Fool Penn and Teller show.
Yeah.
And I love it too. I'm like, oh, cool. I have no idea how anyone's doing any of this. You're fooling me all the time. But I love that. And I love seeing, you know, Penn and Teller perform and that duo, which I think is also a good skill for kids to learn, you know, to do like a double act if you have siblings especially.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. In high school, one of my best friends in high school also did magic. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because we both found out we started doing magic at the same time, but separately. And then we started kind of joining forces, and it was fun to play the magician's assistant for each other. Like, he was doing a trick and I would just be in the background. I would do the thing. I would do the move, whatever it would be. And then people would freak out. Oh my God, how did he do that? My mind's blown. And that sense, like you said, for siblings, that would really be a great way to, you know, really bring them close. And because there's a sense of trust in that too. Trusting for sure. Hey, don't be messing up my trick, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And like developing that almost script together of like, when I say this, you're going to do this. And
exactly.
I think that's all really good life skills.
Yes.
In a very fun way, you know, of like not always playing Simon Says to develop those listening skills of.
Exactly. What I found through learning magic and performing magic was it really helped me grow in every aspect of life. In, you know, when you're older and you're at work and, you know, in life, there's rejections that you get that.
For sure.
You know, that's it. Nobody likes to be rejected. That's right. Just a fact. Why can't everyone say yes? But like I said, like of going out and practicing, I can't tell you how many times I've been told no. To right. my face, and that, you know, that's part of life. And if you learn that in, like you said, a fun and innocent way, it transfers over to when bigger things in life happen. Mm-hmm. You're, oh, hey, you know what? It's tomorrow will come.
Right.
And it's one of those things, even too, no one likes messing up. We get embarrassed. There's been times where I've had a huge crowd and I've messed up. Mm-hmm. Like it happens, and you move on.
Right.
Tomorrow will come. And it's great if kids can get a sense of that at a young age and just really cultivate. It's like a muscle, like, you know, mm-hmm. really work it and cultivate it to where when they're adults, they're smooth sailing.
Yeah. Which if you're listening and thinking, oh, that all sounds really great. Another episode of Chronicles of Narnia that will help with that is growth mindset. Pascal talks about building resiliency and grit with kids. But I think that going back and listening to that episode and then infusing it with magic would be a brilliant way to help kids build resiliency and grit through magic, which...
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of a better thing.
And then, hey, if nothing else, there'll be that cool person at the office Christmas party that's blowing everyone's minds.
Yes. There's a TV show that I really like. It's called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And on it, one of the characters, it's like a running joke throughout the entire series that he knows magic, but they never like address it further than that. They're just like... Josh is so cool because he knows magic. Like, that's it, which I think is brilliant and very fun. And I wonder if they're going to address it ever because it's their final season. But I love that they just like throw it out there and walk away.
It's or how Barney Stinson, they wrote in Neil Patrick Harris's Love of Magic.
Yes. Love that.
And it's a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, everyone loves magic.
They really do. They really do. So you mentioned like YouTube is a great resource for looking up how to learn more tricks if, you know, their interest is growing beyond a nanny's basic knowledge. Like we've already gone in this episode beyond my knowledge. So so what are some other resources, like books that you could go check out at the library or TV shows or anything like that?
Yeah. So there, I would say, I know with me personally, I chose a different route in magic because I like to do more basic tricks and routines per se than a lot of the magicians I know.
Yeah.
But I like to focus on the entertainment aspect, the performance aspect, and doing that. But as for books, when you're ready to, like, you know, graduate from that magic kit you had.
Right.
I've read and seen numerous books to where I would honestly, you know, go to the bookstore and whichever one calls out to you the most, because they're all, I hate to say they're all the same, because they're not.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there's a handful of sleight of hand that you use. And then at that point, what is really great for kids is you start cultivating, you find out who you are.
Uh-huh.
What's your performance aspect? And you can learn these slides, basic ones. They don't have to be complicated. And then you can say, you know what? I've seen 20 magicians and they all have their own personalities. That's what makes it unique. That's what I love about this art. Take my friend from high school, for instance. We would literally do the same routines, the same. But his persona was more like of David Blaine, where he was more serious and solemn, and it was like, it's going to be real magical and like, what? Me, on the other hand, I personally like to be cheeky and flirty, and I'm cracking jokes, and it's like a party, like, what's up? Oh, boom, don't forget we're doing magic.
right.
And that is what is great for especially young kids. You know how school is, and growing up, it's tough sometimes, and you're trying to find yourself. And in magic, you can really find, like, who am I? What am I comfortable doing?
Yeah.
You know, and that is one of the most beautiful things to me too, that when you see people finding who they are, and that, I mean, taking that through life is just, hey, this is who I am. Like, I own it, and then the world is yours.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that idea of also learning a few building blocks almost, and then building your own journey from there of like, I know how to do these basics and now I can mix them up in whatever way I want to build my own story that I'm going to share with people.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's why I say, The thing that has kept me doing magic for as long as I have, you know, beyond a magic phase, is, you know, doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
A lot of times people think, oh, to be a magician, you have to do this way, you have to do that. And especially with magic, that's not true. I mean, I personally like street magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mainly use a deck of cards, maybe a ring that I'm wearing, and a coin. And those are the only things I do. And I like to do it close up and personal.
Mm-hmm.
Say you really want to be a stage magician, a parlor magician. You can. That's the beauty of it, is you can do it and you can make it your own.
Right. That's beautiful. I love it. Okay. For people listening, if they want to find out more about you, where can they go find that?
If you want to find out more about me, you could check out my Instagram. I do bi-weekly magic and music Mondays.
Nice.
My Instagram is at @JDOLGUIN, Jordan Olguin. And that, you know, I do shout-outs. It gets interactive. Like, it's We do a lot of fun stuff like that. They could check out my Facebook page too, Jordan Olguin. You'll see me. It's the same. I'm pointing at you, so you know where to go.
Yes. And I will link both of those. They're already in the show notes. So just scroll down.
Perfect. Well, thank you. And I
love that. And then just curious, for that Instagram and Facebook, are those kid-friendly?
They are, yeah, I would say like PG to maybe PG-13.
Okay, great. Just so that if, you know, a nanny is like, I want to go in and show. So maybe nannies, go through them yourself before you show them.
And then. My content is definitely, I want to be able to, you know, please all audiences.
Right.
Because yes, there's, you know, art and especially movies, you know, rated R and such. Those have their place. But I like to be able to, you know, the family wants to sit around. You can totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this.
Thank you. This has been great.
I love it. And then we end each episode with a little story or quote from a kid. And this week, Jen Akers, Jen, I hope I said your last name right, sent in a cute little story for us. So her nanny kid is 2 and runs around saying, I want a doot. I want a doot. And so Jen said, I told her to show me what doot was, as I didn't understand exactly what she wanted because we don't know that word. And they were outside at the time. And the nanny kid walked over and stuck her finger in the dirt and said doot a few times, like she was teaching me rather than the other way around. And she was like, this is clearly what doot is. And Jen said that it was just so cute and this brilliant moment of autonomy and like, let me show you, let me let you into my world, which I think is just beautiful.
That is... I'm going to start duting now.
Yeah, everyone. Let's just dute for a little while.
I think the world would be a better place if everyone duted every once in a while.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. I love that. It was really cute.
Oh my gosh.
So thanks for sharing that, Jen. And thank you, Jordan, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey, the pleasure was all mine.
Great. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Chronicles of Narnia is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Narnia and on Twitter at Narnia Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnarnia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.